Hey there, beautiful people. Welcome to Fantalk. Okay. The podcast for all those complex and complicated conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I am, I'm Travelle Anderson.
Wow, that took a lot.
I know, sorry.
You were going to say something awful, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah. And I am politics and pop culture journalist and writer Jarrett Hill. We have a different kind of show for y'all today. It's the second time we're doing what we call... Well, actually, I think this is the third or fourth time that we're doing What Was That? Which is your feedback to the show and kind of responding to some of your letters. You might know, like, a couple days ago, there was an election. And today, we're not talking about it because... We tape on Tuesdays, and what the hell would we possibly say? Because there's no way of knowing what the hell is going to happen in the election. So we'll be able to respond to the election on that show next week. But yes, we wanted to kind of get into your feedback and also, be able to, have a conversation about some of the conversations we've had and what they've kind of done out in the world. We are going to start off with Pass the Popcorn, which is also... kind of a bit of listener feedback as well. We got a DM from Alex on Instagram, and she says, "Hi, beautiful people," which is catching on. I think it's becoming a thing.
It's a thing.
Can we put that on it? Maybe we can put that on merch. Hi, beautiful people.
Yeah, we definitely can.
Or beautiful person. Yeah. Oh yeah, I like that. You can do like beautiful person mugs. Would you guys buy that?
Let us know.
Let us know, right? Yeah. Okay. It says, "Hi, beautiful people. Love you all so much. Thank you for all that you do. Just wanted to thank Travelle for keeping us updated on their therapy journey with Tea Time. I'm a therapist, and I was on the edge of my seat to find out if they found a better fit and was glad to hear they found Monique. Love y'all, and thanks again." So I wanted to do this. I wanted to do this one this week because I've been talking with friends a lot just about having a difficult time the last couple of weeks and starting to recognize that I'm experiencing more depression than I first, let myself think. And so I was like, I think it's time for us to do a check-in on how people are feeling about COVID, feeling about quarantine, feeling about work life and stuff like that. So I loved that we had this letter just this week because it was a perfect way for us to have this conversation. So how you doing with COVID, bitch?
Well, Monique and I have been great. We've been, I feel like a lot of my conversations now are, they're like career related and they're about like fitness because, she hopped on a scale a couple weeks ago and the scale started crying.
Oh no.
And so I was like, "Ooh, girl. Ugh, help me work this out, sis."
Did it turn into a horror film? Is that what that was?
It was very Topsy and Bopsy tease for those who watch Lovecraft.
That's funny.
But so we've been working through those particular things, career things, writing up this book, as you are very well aware of that process,
and yeah,
just trying to. It actually has been like less about COVID because I feel like I just have to power through it and be like, listen. There ain't gonna be no light bites, okay? Ain't no happy hour, ain't no open bar, okay?
No hours are happy. Like, oh.
For like 6 more months. Like, let's be real.
I mean,
and so like you just gotta power through it. And so she's been helping me, do that. What about for you?
I am actually talking to my doctor this week about, or I'm starting kind of looking at a new therapist this Thursday. I have a doctor's appointment and I've probably said here before, like depression for me manifests itself in like a lack of motivation and like fatigue. It's not necessarily, sadness or darkness or something like that. So I've started to recognize like there are some projects that I've had sitting on my desk for way too long that I should have had done already. And it's starting to show up in other ways. And so I'm like, oh, this is actually something I need to deal with a little bit more seriously. So I'm considering like, maybe I need to consider a medication or like I need to do something else. I don't know. But it's scary to me because I've never really been into the idea of any kind of medicine that impacts my brain because I had ADHD medicine back in the day and it was a really, really difficult experience. So for me, but like for my brother, it worked great. So considering it, thinking about it, How are you with wearing the mask? What's the mask experience like for you now?
I mean, I put it on.
I'm so tired of the mask. Like, it makes me not want to go outside. I'm always wearing it.
Which is probably for the best.
Listen, right? Right, it's a deterrent. I'm so tired of the mask and, like, having to wear the mask here and wear it there and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I need to get more comfortable masks. Do you have a lot of them?
We have a lot. Yeah. Really? Like, he has, like, 6 or 7. I probably have, like, 5 or 6. Really? Because, you know, we rotate them. We have masks. One of his friends, earlier in the pandemic, she was making her own masks and, like, printing these, like, black queer canonical images on the masks. So, like, we each have a mask of, you know, a scene from Set It Off, and we have a mask of that picture of what's her name? Robin, Whitney and Robin, when they were younger. The cover of Robin's book is on a mask. And then I have just, like, other masks that I've gotten in, like, different, like, promo packages for different shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, pop those on.
We should do masks that say beautiful person or high beautiful people or complex and complicado.
Okay, but that's very much a timely production. Like, ain't nobody buying that mask. Hopefully, we won't have no need for that mask in 3 months.
Listen, no. We will. It'll be for the next year. Okay, how are you with dining out? Have you eaten out anywhere?
You mean, like, go physically to a place? No. Yeah,
really? Because the places that are open here in LA, like, they have to operate outside. So I've been to, like, a few of those different kinds of places. And it actually hasn't been bad. I mean, we're fortunate in LA that, like, we usually have weather that really permits that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've been out a few times. I feel like I'm getting a little bit of the cabin fever sometimes. Like, oh, God, I got to get the fuck out of this house. But, like, are you feeling... You just moved, so you probably don't even have that.
I don't like being stationary. I'm somebody who thrives off of moving and who thrives off of having a lot to do. Mm-hmm. It helps me focus. And so I feel that for sure. But I think part of for me is just about, like, you know, figuring out ways to break it up, right? And so, like I said, I've started working out, allegedly. One thing I worked on with Monique was about, like, actually setting a schedule to where, you know, these 3 hours I work on the book and these 2 hours I work on, you know, pitching or writing stories and a couple hours on NABJ foolishness that I have to do. And so structuring my day so that, you know, it builds in some sort of mechanism that, like, helps with focus. I structure in breaks, right, when I'm going to sit and watch an hour of TV. And so, you know, it is...
Is that working for you?
I'm adjusting.
Okay, so no. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine recently, and I was saying how one of the things that I've always been trying to do is, like, establish a new routine for myself. And I felt like in the time of COVID, that should be a lot easier because your ass ain't going nowhere. But, like, it's still been really difficult. But she said to me, she was like, no, you have a routine. It's just not the one that you want. And I was like, oh, get me together. You
know? That part. Actually. Yeah.
So I like the idea of the blocks of hours, though.
Yeah, and we should say, I don't know if we were keeping this private, but we are pre-recording this episode.
Right.
Right? Because the world might end.
Listen, yeah, I mean, do you want me to elaborate there?
No, okay. Do not. But, you know, I think it's also, you know, I think while you all are listening to this, right, it is on Thursday, the Thursday after the election, and so... We hope that you all are doing well. Who knows, you know, what the actual lay of the land is, but hopefully this episode will get you all laughing and in high spirits. And
hopefully there's an internet somewhere that exists where you can receive this data of our voices.
I hate you so much.
But also, like, I mean, to be fair, like, we're pre-taping the show also because, like, I just don't know what to expect that week. And, like, the election mixed with COVID, mixed with all of the uprisings and conversations we've been having about race and diversity and all this different stuff, like, all of those things happening at the same time have just been really difficult for me. And so we are pre-taping this episode in advance because, like, I just don't know what to expect Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. And we wanted to make sure to have a show for you. So here we are.
But we will be back. So don't worry.
We okay? will be back. We probably still won't have a president. But anyway. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are getting into your letters, your DMs, some tweets that made us cackle. A whole lot of different stuff is coming up. Fantasize back in a moment.
The Beef and Dairy Network is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast here on Maximum Fun, and I would recommend you listen to it. But don't just take it from me. What do the listeners have to say?
I would rather stick a corkscrew inside my ear, twist it around, and pull out my ear canal like a cork than listen to your stupid podcast ever again. Please stop contacting me.
Hell would freeze over before I recommended this podcast, the Beef and Dairy Network, to anyone.
Not in a million years. Actually, scratch that. Make it a billion years. No, how long's infinity?
That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, available at MaximumFun.org and at all good and some bad podcast platforms.
Disgusting.
Hey, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. Together, we're The Flophouse,
a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
Movies like Space Hobos, Into the Outer Reaches of the Unknown and the Things That We Don't Know, the movie, and also Who's That Grandma?
Zazzle Zippers, Breakdown 2, and Backhanded Compliment.
Elvis is a Policeman.
Baby Crocodile and the Happy Twins.
Leftover Potatoes?
Station Wagon 3.
Herbie Goes to Hell.
New episodes available every other Saturday.
Available at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye. Bye.
Welcome back, beautiful people. All right, so we're getting into your listener feedback for the entire rest of this episode. So buckle up. First up, I wanted to read this small, short email that we got from Kim. In response to your Canadian shout out that you gave a couple weeks ago, when you messed up and you said episode and try to blame it on the Canadians. And so Kim says, "Dear Fanti, you are the absolute best. Thank you. And she's like, and Canadians do not say episode, but maybe we should start. Love, Kim. A Canadian."
I love that. Oh, that was so... After I said that, I was like, oh, I hope that doesn't go over poorly. Like, I mean, it was very dad jokey, but I just did not know if it was going to, like, be offensive. So thank you so much, Kim. I really appreciate that.
Now we have an email from Francis that also ironically is directed at you, Jarrett. And let me be, I want to be clear. I'm not picking on you. By having all of these emails that are directed at you.
You just structured it this way while you were producing this week's episode with it.
Well, here we are. All right, so we have an email from Francis. It's a little long, y'all, so bear with me. And Francis says they've been a listener since February when we launched, and they've enjoyed our show and our take. They just listened to the September 10th episode, which is an episode we were talking, I think we started talking about pronouns. Mm-hmm. And so Francis is responding to that. On that episode, I apparently said that it doesn't matter what people close to me, the pronouns that they use, if they use he, him, or they, them, but people who don't know me as well need to use they, them pronouns. Francis says their experience is a little different. When their now 17-year-old came out as trans 2 years ago, the 17-year-old said that the female name that they had been given was not who they were and that they had chosen a different name. At the time, they said that they didn't see themselves as either male or female, but that they didn't care, quote-unquote, what pronouns were used. It was hard not to think of them as the female name we had used for 15 years, but I eventually succeeded in consistently using their chosen name. The pronoun issue was trickier, especially because they were so non-committal about it. I also felt that as their mother, they should give me a pass on this and not expect me to work too hard to make this change. I don't remember what made me change my mind about it, but at some point I realized that I was looking at it completely wrong. I realized that as their mother, it was most important that I see them as who they are and show that I respect them by using their preferred pronouns. I know you, Travel, may feel differently about your pronouns than my kid does, but I want to encourage you, Jarrett, to use the pronouns Travel prefers, because whatever someone says, I think that it is most important that the people closest to us see us how we want to be seen. I hope I haven't overstepped here.
So upon third reading, first of all, I actually really love this letter. I love that there are children who are being able to kind of explore gender and having parents that are supportive of that. I think it's just super duper important that we have that. So when I first read this, I read the ending a little bit differently. And now as I'm reading it again, it hits me differently. So full disclosure, and I said this to you, like I was really frustrated with this email at first because I felt like I specifically asked you on that episode.
Yes.
How do you prefer that I actually talked to you about this before the show, and then we talked about it on the show. And you said, oh, I don't care how you what pronouns you'd use. And so then to read this email the first time, which I think I was like frustrated in the moment when I was reading it, I was reading Francis, the end of Francis's email as saying like, I should use the pronouns for you the way that Francis uses them for their child. And I was thinking to myself, like, but that's completely contradictory to what Travel said Travel wanted. So I was frustrated, like, this listener was, like, recentering themselves in this conversation and, like, overruling what you said you wanted because of what they wanted. Now, as I'm reading it again, I don't know that that's what happened, but...
It's not.
Right, because Francis says... Jarrett, I would encourage you to use the pronouns Travel prefers because whatever someone says, I think that is most important, which is where I am, right? Which is why I've had this conversation with you, which is why I always ask people how to pronounce their names because I want to pronounce their name the way that they pronounce it as best I can. So yeah, this irked me at first a little bit, but like generally, I think this story is really fantastic because I'm happy for Francis's teenager to have a parent that is like embracing this.
So now I told you that I had a question that I was reserving for you that I wasn't going to say out loud
right. When
we were producing the episode. And one of the things that stuck out to me from what Francis said is she talked about how, she was interested in just using the pronouns that she was most comfortable using, right? So even though her child at the time said that they did not care what pronouns to use, like that kind of gave her the opportunity to continue using, the wrong pronouns because of that. And she, goes on to say that she realized that it was less, that she needed to use the preferred pronouns, blah, 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 blah. I wanted to ask you, do you see your difficulty in using they, them pronouns for me, for anybody, broadly speaking, right? Similarly, like, do you, like,
does it about my comfortability?
Right. Does my non-committal allow you to be more comfortable, you feel, in saying he, as opposed to, going the extra mile and saying they, them?
Sure. I think that's a fair question.
I know it is. I came up with it.
Let me know when you're done. So I'll take the scenic route here because we have the time on an episode like this. I used to date a guy who was out to all of his friends.
Oh, this is definitely the scenic route because I don't know where the hell this is going. Keep going.
First of all, the look on your face was like I had just told you that I had an OnlyFans account. Like, calm down.
Oh, well, how you doing?
Well, I mean, He's got rent to pay, okay? He was out to all of his friends, but his parents lived in another state, and it was something that he was not out to his family. And so he kept saying, like, oh, I want to tell them that I'm gay when I'm in a relationship. And I was like, number one, I don't know how your parents don't know that you're gay. Have they met you? Number two...
you're disrespectful.
I mean, I was just like, sweetness, like, I know you're kidding, right? But the other part of that was, I said to him, you know, you've, like, danced around this with your parents, but you've never, like, said it to them. So, like, there is a universe where they think that you're not sure. And so, like, he was like, oh, that's interesting. And, like, when he talked to his parents, I believe they did say that they weren't sure because he wasn't sure. So, like, I think that's a valid question. But for me, with you, I don't feel that way because I don't feel like you're still figuring out your gender. And like, how to use pronouns and stuff like that. So I don't think of it that way for myself. But I also feel like I'm not used to using they, them pronouns. And because of that, I am trying to use them more, because if I can do it with you, I can do it with other people. And I don't know a lot of people that identify as non-binary, but I know a few. And so it's just something that I want to be better about, because I haven't been accustomed to doing it.
Well, you know, the girls are coming out as non-binary out the woodwork, honey. Listen, all the girls non-binary today.
Listen,
honey.
It's the thing to do.
Shut up.
I mean, sweetness, I might have to change mine. Why not? Let's have fun with it.
Okay, I hate you.
I would probably make up some banshee ass pronouns, but that's a different conversation.
There's an ass load of pronouns, girl. Like, an ass load of gender pronouns. Because in Europe, they're a lot more progressive. Well, certain countries in Europe are a lot more progressive when it comes to pronouns. So, like, I promise you, there is literally, like, a pantheon number of other types of pronouns that folks use. Yes, child. There's just, I won't even get into it right now, but there are a lot beyond he, she, and they.
Are you, just in that, because I'm not familiar. I have seen, like, other pronouns, but I'm not sure, like, how widely used they are. But are you, have you found interest in any of the other ones that are outside of those? That we traditionally use?
No, and to be quite honest, I think I said this before, I don't really find interest in the ones we use right now. Right. So,
okay.
Which I think comes from with what's been termed, you know, the non-committal of it all. But thank you, Francis, for that email and that effort to, you know, hold Jared accountable. I love that.
Of course you do. Thank you, Francis. We really appreciate it. And I'm grateful for your child. So, okay, we have an email from Alex, who is in Ireland, in response to the code-switching episode. FYI, we're reading truncated versions of these emails. We're not reading the full email. So if you hear your email, you're like, that ain't... That's why, because some of them are a little long. Okay, Alex says, I'm an immigrant from the United States. I grew up in Flint, Michigan, and lived in Detroit for years before I moved to Dublin, Ireland. My wife is from here, and we wanted to be close to her family. I'm constantly having to shift the way I speak in tons of different ways. It's not quite the same as affecting an accent, but it's in that sort of ballpark. Alex goes on to say, it got me thinking about the code switching immigrants have to do, both myself here in Ireland and immigrants back home. One of the things you mentioned on the show was how you might code switch in a professional setting, but not with friends and members of your own in-group. I don't really have members of my in-group around, and the other person that talks like me around me is my wife and her family. If I'm not conscious of it, I still get people asking me if I'm on vacation or studying abroad. Oh, man. Sometimes you just need to talk like the people around you to be understood. But where does code switching stop and assimilation begin? When you start to blend in a little too well, the people around you can lose track of your core identity. That's a really interesting perspective. And I always think about immigrant communities when I think about, like, my friends who, have Caribbean background, or they're from New Orleans, and, like, how when you hear them talk to their family back home, like, oh, yes, how it comes out, right? And, I mean, I mm-hmm. think that happens for a lot of people that have accents that tend to get, like, tamped down. But I think, like, in America, for instance, assimilation has always been, like, the thing, right? Like, part of what's interesting to me about whiteness is that, like, American whiteness is so like divorced of any ethnicity, right? Of any cultural ties. Like American whiteness doesn't have like the flavor of anything because like,
yes, flavor.
It's all been just like kind of distilled down, right? It's not like, oh, I'm Italian or I'm French or I'm Greek. Like American whiteness is just like this gelatinous kind of thing that is amorphous and like, I don't know. It's an interesting type of thing. Go ahead.
Well, I want to just stop down and shout out Alex, who's listening all the way in Ireland.
Like, amen.
You know,
yes.
Shout out. Okay. But I think it's interesting talking about code switching. Well, first of all, I find it interesting to talk about like immigrants and to use, you know, I think you're white, Alex. But white American folk and talking about them as we talk about immigrants when they, you know, go to other countries. I find it fascinating and I find it, you know, interesting. That being said.
Oh, right. Because he said he grew up in Flint, Michigan and moved to Ireland. Okay. But she's from there.
Right.
Okay,
right. That being said, this question of like, where does code switching stop and assimilation begin? That was the reason why I really pulled this email, because I think there is something there mm-hmm. about, you know, and I think it would be easy for someone to say, right, that like if you came from a particular community that talks a certain way. So I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. Folks from Charleston speak a particular way. Shout out to the Gullah Geechee people, you know, in the area, right? But in the same way that like Memphis folks, when you hear somebody from Memphis speak, you know where they're from. I feel like the same thing with Atlanta folks. You know where they're from. You mentioned New Orleans. But as we move, you know, around and we go to other places, and for some of us, we lose the accent completely. And for some of us, we just hide it. I do wonder, like, I find that interesting, that idea. And I think people would definitely say that, like, that's a form of assimilation. Especially if you put it all the way away and you don't even ever bring it back out, even when you're around, you know, your community.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really been like the whole point, right? Like, I was thinking earlier today about all the ways that Black folks have had to learn white folks stuff, but white folks have never had to learn all of our stuff, right? And like the ways that we have to learn how to dress like you, how to get our hair to do what yours does, how to, you know, speak like you, how to, you know, do all of these different things to survive, right? Which is what one of the things we talked about with code switching was it's about sustaining survival. And like, white folks don't have to do that. And so right. I was saying to those folks, like, white folks, like, because we're not going back, I feel like I've had this conversation so many times in the last couple of months, but like, because Black folks are not going back, y'all gonna have to get better about your anti-Blackness. Men, because women are not going back pre-Me Too, you're going to have to get better about how you deal with the women in your mm-hmm. workplace, and like so on and so on. And, you know, Black folks are not going to continue to like bend in that way, I don't think. And so I think we're in this interesting time where folks are probably starting to shed those things more and more. And it's going to be uncomfortable for white people, I'm sure, to have to figure out that adjustment. But at the same time, like, think about how freeing it is for everybody else to be able to like just be who they are. Mm-hmm. I think there's real value in that.
Yeah, very much so. Very, 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 very much so. You have a tweet that you wanted to bring up.
From at Real Love Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sometimes I see the tweets and sometimes I don't. I don't know how this happens, but like this one I happened to catch. And I hollered, like, so funny. So this was following our Hallelujah-ween episode, the first one. And at Real Love Punk says, Christianity suppressed and devalued our supernatural life and prioritized and instilled its own in Black people. Hashtag Black-a-ween. And
that's
I was like,
Black-a-ween.
I was like, you know how sometimes you can read something and you know that, like, it's a hit, but you don't exactly know why. So you go back and watch it again or read it again or whatever. I read this tweet like three different times before like I was really able to get into like what was being said here. So I'm going to read it again. Christianity suppressed and devalued our supernatural life, which already that's a lot. Like, mm-hmm. very Lovecrafty, right? and prioritized and instilled its own in Black people. And I was like, damn, that hit so differently for me. And like, we've had conversations here about our relationships uniquely to gospel music and, you know, vis-a-vis Christianity. And like, I just thought that was so powerful. It was just a really good tweet. And I was like, God damn. I think I probably retweeted it and said that. So shout out to at Real Love Punk, because that was, I think its name is Sean Taylor. It's a really, really good tweet. It was my fave.
I have another tweet that I want to bring up before we go to our last email. C-Wise Randolph at she's underscore C-Wise said, I'm late listening to Hallelujah Ween Part 1, but I laughed out loud for a long time when Jared said CK, not double G.
That had me holler. You know what? I think we just leave it there. If you know, you know.
We do. If you know, you know. If you don't, go try to figure it out.
I was going to say, because we've given it to you twice in 2 weeks. So if you didn't catch it the first time, you might have caught it the second. When I saw that, that was one of those things that I had forgotten that I'd said that. And so when I saw it, it immediately brought it back. And I was standing in my room reading this tweet and cackling. So thank you for that one.
And I know I said I was going to go to this email, but I have another tweet that I have to mention. This was from Donovan Ramsey. Shout out to Donovan.
Hey, Donovan.
All right. So Donovan tweeted us and he said, it was about the Hallelujah Ween episode as well. Said, my church used to have, instead of a haunted house, a hallelujah house.
Jesus.
My godmother showed up once in a sheet torn all over the place. She was the Holy Ghost.
Listen.
He says, I was exhausted, Jeff.
Listen, I almost want to do something where I can hear from different people about the ways that their churches engaged Halloween. Because, like, Hallelujah-ween was brand new to me. We got, someone else had a tweet about what their church was doing. And, like, I am so fascinated by the ways that church tries to get around Halloween without, like, making it Halloween. That's amazing. I love the Holy Ghost. Okay.
And there was, I just want to shout it out. I forget who it was. Let me see if I can pull it up really quick. Okay, yes. Their handle is at Peach H Juice. And they, I guess they were on Twitter and they came across this tweet where somebody took a picture of the back of a bus in Toronto. And there's an ad on the back of the bus that says JesusWeen.com. And I don't know, I had mentioned Jesus Ween, and I love that, you know, shout out to whoever's in Toronto getting a Jesus Ween on, okay?
Jesus Ween is like, I can't, like, Jesus Ween? Like, come on now. Who came up with Jesus Ween? You know, listen, it's somebody's auntie who couldn't come up with anything better, and she said, I'm just gonna call it Jesus.
Well, listen, it is what it is. And then I just wanted to say, they also said, as another queer person who grew up in a rural evangelical area, that episode gave me war flashbacks.
Oh, no.
So shout out to you. You survived. Okay. The last email.
Well, I did have one other tweet that I appreciate it. It comes from at Jewies Louise. She says, thank you for articulating my discomfort over strangers coming up to my door on Halloween. You know, this is kind of the anti more than the fan, right? She says, I had fun trick-or-treating as a kid. I get it. But as an adult who's been stalked, it has lost its charm to me. And so, like, that part I can 100%, like, actually relate to. And feeling weird about it. And that's a part of why I'm like, I do not want to... Like, I like living in a building right now. Like, it just feels more secure, especially with all the crazy shit going on outside. Again, we had an election 2 days ago at this point. Who knows what things are going to be happening in the days and weeks to come, if anything. But, like, I totally related to that tweet. So thank you for that one. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have more feedback from you. We a straight white man who's listening to the show. We'll get into that next.
So we talk a lot, I feel like, on this podcast about, you know, mental health. We've done some talk about your physical health, but we ain't really talked too much about your sexual health, okay? Oh. Which might be a little impacted because, you know, we in a pandemic, so we get it, all right? But, you know, whether you, whether you hit the gym, whether you take a walk or you meditate, if you want to take care of your whole self, all right, you need to prioritize your pleasure, all right, along with your body and your mind. And one way that you can do that is by checking out Dipsy, all right, which is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and wellness sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. No pun intended, but pun intended.
But why would you write that if you didn't intend the pun? Like, I mean, it's the whole point.
Well, there it is, the end.
The stories are relatable and immersive, and the wellness sessions will also help you unlock new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. They add new stories every week, so you never get bored. So spice things up today with Dipsy. And for our listeners, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/fanti. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/fanti. dipsystories.com/fanti. Welcome back to Fanti. Okay, Travell, you have a letter from Gary.
In our last email this week, it comes from Gary. And Gary says, I am a white, cis, straight man who loves your show. Well, thank you. But I have something that I was wondering how you felt about. True crime shows are all over the internet, the TV, and the podcasts. I know they shed light on all kinds of terrible crimes and sometimes even help solve crimes, but they also focus almost exclusively white victims or white serial killers. For every crime that gets a show, a lot of times that same crime, there are countless victims of color that go completely ignored. I don't know if that is a white people thing or not. I suspect it is, but I think it's worth a talk. Are you into true crime at all?
I am. I go in like fits and starts of binges. So like I had this period where I was really into Forensic Files and I had to like not see the first, you know, 30 seconds of an episode because I was going to have to watch the whole thing. And I think like there is this obsession, I don't know if it's uniquely American or not, but like there is this obsession in this country with true crime. But also like, I mean, if we really think about it, the first reality show that some people, you know, point to was Cops, which is technically a true crime show. And I know that like in this era, while we've been having all these conversations about racial reckonings, like those kinds of shows are going off the air. I know for Law and Order and those kinds of like procedural police shows and stuff like that, they're having conversations about how do we do this better. And so I think that, Gary, it's a very good question. I think it's something that most shows that deal with crime are having to figure out how do we address this conversation in a way that is fair and equitable. Also, though, like when it comes to the perpetrators of like most of the true crime that we see, like oftentimes in American culture, it is a white man, right? Like, which is why we're shocked when like the DC sniper is a black guy, or the guy that was here in LA, the former police officer, I can't think of his name now, but like we were shocked when we were like, oh, that was a black guy. So it is interesting, but we don't often see victims that aren't like blonde white women or like pretty white women.
I will say that I used to be into Snapped a lot.
Oh yeah.
Which I think fits this true crime thing. Just because listen, women who are tired of they men's trashness. Listen, it was just gripping storytelling. And I wanted to highlight this podcast actually that I listened to when it came out called Atlanta Monster. It was like this limited series podcast about the missing and murdered children in Atlanta. It was like this huge big case back in the day.
The Atlanta Child Murders.
Yeah, the Atlanta Child Murders.
There's a HBO documentary series, too, that's on my list to watch.
Okay, well, the podcast was, it was really great. They interviewed all these different people, and it was, it, I think what a lot of these is about the storytelling of it all, right? Because you've got to just, like, weave and piece these things together, and so, I can't say that I'm a huge fan of true crime, but, like, that podcast was really great. Dirty John, when I worked at the LA Times, Dirty John was the first big podcast that they had done. And, you know, I was like, well, this is some good white people drama, okay?
Listen.
Like, you know, and I will say, I feel like folks of color, particularly black folks specifically, like, we love some white people drama when we can get it.
Listen, I'm sometimes okay with seeing white people at each other's throats, like, and doing, like, crazy shit. But, like, Ozark, I think I mentioned having watched Ozark recently. I've been watching that The Vow on HBO about the NXIVM guy, the NXIVM cult. I know, I think it was last week, he was sentenced to, like, 120 years in jail or something like that. And so, yeah, I can get, like, one of my favorite shows of all time is Brothers and Sisters, which is Lily White. But, like,
yes,
Lily. We also didn't have family dramas with black folks back then, so. All right, now it is time for us to get into our dishonorable mentions. This week we are, Travell wanted to give a shout out, a very special mention for this week's show.
Yes. Okay. So we told y'all we are pre-recording this, and we know that you're listening to this now in the still in the haze of election day.
That hangover, baby.
You know, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to shout out all of our listeners, all of the members of the Fanti fam, because you survived. Okay. Listen. I know it was a little touch and go there, all right? I know that we weren't sure, okay, when April came around, all right? And then May, and then June, okay? I know, but you made it. Now, I hope that as you are listening to this, that we at least have some sort of positive inferences that we can hold on to.
You hope right that now. Joe Biden has won the election? Is that what you're trying to...
Is that I what hope doing? That at least he's leading, you know,
As you I want to hear that this. He has won. Donald Trump has, you know, I'm not even going to say that. But, like, yeah, I want to be specific with my request of the universe.
Well, I just wanted to shout out you all, because we started this podcast, right, in February. And then, like, I think our third or fourth week,
yeah,
we were in our closet.
You were,
or I was in my closet, and you were at your living room table.
And look at God, you have upgraded. You're in an office now. Amen.
Yes, I have an office now. Praise the Lord.
I will say to the Fanti fam, I'm really, really grateful for the way that this show has grown, and hearing from you all about the show, and you know what we've been able to do. So it's been really, really great. No one ever rings my goddamn doorbell. Can you leave it at the door?
They probably did leave it at the door.
No one ever rings my
So door. at this point, everyone, Jared's doorbell has... I don't even know if Jordan is going to leave this in, but Jared's doorbell has just rung, as you just heard. Oh, let's listen in.
Oh, thank you. Okay, appreciate it.
Ooh, an exclusive. I'm going to ask him about his package when
Jesus
he gets back.
Hello?
So, who was it?
Amazon Prime, motherfucker.
Oh, what you ordering?
A Swiffer wet jet, because I'm sick of these damn floors.
Yes, yeah, Swiffer wet jet.
Motherfucker.
This is staying in the show, FYI.
I knew you were going to say that. Like, no one ever rings my doorbell. So, like, the fact that they're doing it during the show, like, it just there's no way that that's possible. Okay.
Anyway, we were giving a shout out to the members. Yes,
I just want to say thanks to all of you who have embraced this show, and I did not expect it to do nearly as well as quickly. Like, I thought it would take a while to grow and like all that kind of stuff, but you guys have embraced the show really quickly, and it's also just really great to hear from all of you about how you're feeling about what we're discussing, what you've learned, what you've changed, what you've challenged, or how you thought we were wrong. And so it's just been really, really cool. I feel like we've gone through a lot in, you know, 75 months. How long has it been since this started?
Yeah.
But like, I'm just, I'm really grateful for this. So congratulations on making it through this goddamn election. We're probably going to be, you know, seeing a little bit more about this election before it's over. But like, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to do this every week. So and working with you isn't the worst thing.
Wow. You are almost done without saying anything bad. You were almost, you were so close.
Sweetie, adore you. And, you know, let's onward and upward. Let's look forward.
Onward and upward. I also just want to say, I knew the show was going to pop. Okay, I knew we was going to be good and we was going to have a fan base and stuff like that. I knew it. Okay?
You could have told me.
I tried, but you like doing that self-deprecating thing. And so I was like, I'm going to let him do his process so he can do his process. And then I'll just be over here waiting on him when he come around the river band.
I will choke you. You are alive.
All right. Anyway, that's our show this week.
Yes. We ask that if you are a part of the Fantime fam, or if you're not, I guess, you could still go give us a 5-star rating and a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. It really helps us with the show. If you have a comment or suggestion about something that you heard on the show from this week, you can tweet us or DM us on Instagram at Fanti Podcast. Again, that's at Fanti Podcast, all as one word. And you can send us emails, because obviously we read them, to fanti@maximumfun.org. Travel, tell them about becoming a part of the Fanti fam.
Yeah, so now maybe you've been listening all this time and you keep hearing us say Fanti Fam, and you're like, ooh, what's the Fanti Fam? What is that? Fanti Fam are the members of the Maximum Fun community who financially support this good that we're giving y'all, okay? If you want to be a member of the Fanti Fam, it's very simple, it's very easy. You could just go to MaximumFun.org/join, okay? And you can just put in your information, little click, click, clack. And it's very simple. It's straight and easy.
It's probably, you know, only click, 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 clack if they have acrylic nails like you.
Okay, well, I don't have acrylic. I just got long nails because I got good jeans, okay? Biotin, ho. but if you want to support us, you can go to MaximumFun.org/join and do all of that great work. As you know, our music is brought to you every week by Corece. That's Core.ece. Go show him some love on all of the social media platforms, as well as, you know, make sure you're streaming it on the Spotify's and the Apple Music. And our graphics are always done by Ashley Wen.
Merch idea. I want us to start selling biotin like in a vial, but I needed to say biotin, ho.
I hate you.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Our producer this week is Jordan Callen and Laura Swisher. This is a production of Maximum Fun.
Ew.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
Should I do my sexy voice again?
No, you should not.
Are you sure?
I'll start. I got it. I got it.